God's Word together. I'm excited to be able to share once again from John chapter 4. And we're going to read from John 4, beginning at verse 26. We're going to continue a little longer than that section there that I'm reading, but we're going to read 26 through 34, and we'll be considering all the way up through about verse 44 today of John chapter 4. And this picks it up in Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman. Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he," that is the Christ. Just then, his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Have you ever been in one of those situations where you missed seeing what was obvious and right in front of you? Sort of like, you know, where are my glasses? Oh, you know, there they are, you know, or where's that thing? It's like, no, it's right there. And you've had some of those moments, right? You miss seeing the thing that was obvious and right in front of you. Well, in today's text from John chapter 4, the disciples were not seeing what was obvious and right in front of them. They were missing seeing the great spiritual harvest that was about to happen. And Jesus deals with them here in this text. He deals with them, I would submit to you, precisely the way he would deal with us. And shows them what they were missing, what they needed to see, and how they could be engaged in that spiritual harvest. My prayer for Trinity Community Church and every person here or hearing my voice who is a believer in Jesus Christ is that we might be a community of believers, joy-filled and gospel proclaiming, who see and seize and serve in the harvest as God leads us to do it. Let's just back up and get the context for those of you who may not remember the story from John 4. Jesus is there in a village or town in Samaria called Sychar. He has gone and sat by a well while the disciples went into town to get food, and a woman comes there to draw water. Jesus asks her for a drink, and she expresses great surprise that he would ask her, for she was a Samaritan and he was a Jew, and they just did not have good relations as peoples at all. But Jesus then ministers to her. He shares with her about living water, and we see there in John chapter 4, as we open that text, that she's like, "Man, I think this guy might be the Christ." And she leaves her water jar, goes into town. And as she's going into town, there's great faith reflected in her words where she says, "Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" She's already moved from shame to sharing. There's definitely the emergence of faith there, and by the end of this text, we'll see that she indeed believes in Jesus, and so convincing is her belief in Jesus that others believe in Jesus because of her testimony. And those that she's sharing with are now making their way out of town. It's an exciting moment. People that have heard this woman telling about Jesus and her encounter with him are making their way out of town toward where Jesus is there with the disciples. And it says now, meanwhile, and so kind of shifting scenes, meanwhile, John 4, verse 31, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." This meanwhile tells us there's another story emerging here. It's about the disciples. Jesus has been ministering to the woman. Now, in this section here, he is clearly ministering to disciples. He's ministering to those who are his followers, those who already believe in him. And that's us, most of us, many of us for sure. And so this is not just how they are seeing and serving in the harvest. This is how we as Jesus followers see and serve in the harvest that he has brought by his mighty work. And there in John chapter 4, verse 35, is Jesus' words to the disciples. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. And of course, when the harvest is ready, you can tell it by oftentimes the color of the grain. And Jesus, of course, is saying, this is a harvest time now. And both look and lift up in the Greek are imperative. This is a command for them to see, to look at, to consider the harvest opportunity before them. And I would submit to you that that same exhortation the Lord gives to us to see and look at the harvest opportunities that are around us because Jesus has come. Harvest is not something that we're all that familiar with because we're not an agricultural society. But really what Jesus is getting at here is opportunities, spiritual opportunities, for sharing the gospel and for calling people to believe the gospel. And what he's saying here to them is this is a time of gospel opportunity for people to hear the gospel and people to receive the gospel. That's what's happening. And I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters, this is a time of gospel opportunity for people to hear the gospel and people to receive the gospel. We're familiar with people that have tomatoes, maybe more familiar than people that have crops to harvest. So, you know, thinking of tomatoes, anybody know somebody who's got some tomatoes or had some tomatoes, right? Now, if no one ever planted the tomatoes, there would be no tomatoes to harvest, right? You gotta put the tomatoes in the ground sometime in the spring if you want tomatoes in the fall. And so spiritually speaking, we got to be putting tomatoes in the ground. We got to be sowing those gospel seeds of sharing the message with others and doing the things God leads us and guides us and tells us to do. There's no harvest if there's no sowing. On the other hand, if you've sown some stuff, put some seeds in the ground, sharing the gospel, telling people, there's no harvesting unless you go out and harvest. There's no crop. If people planted tomatoes, they would never enjoy those tomatoes or share them with their family and friends unless later on in the summer they went out and picked them. So both sowing and picking or reaping are an important part of gospel harvesting. And I'm submitting to you, based on the Word of God and what we see around us, there are many gospel harvest opportunities now for sowing the message of the gospel and for inviting people to believe. This time of COVID-19, as it continues, there's isolation, there's loneliness, there's anxiety. These are opportunities for speaking the gospel and calling people to believe. I'm so encouraged that many of you are doing this. There are people coming to faith through folks at Trinity Community Church regularly right now because they're sharing the gospel, they're sowing the seeds, they're calling people to believe. And this is an unprecedented time after this election. And all the issues in our country, the division, the confusion, the hurt, and all the other adjectives or whatever we might put on that. It's like, wow, what an amazing time for us as Christians to be sharing the gospel and inviting people to believe. This holiday season, in some ways a holiday season unlike any other, right? People are going to be like, oh, it's terrible. In some ways, physically speaking, there's some limitations and frustrations we're facing. And yet, what an amazing time for saying, you know what, though? Why did Jesus come? Let's tell people why Jesus came. And as we look into 2021, again, another season, a gospel opportunity for us as a church and us as believers. And Lord willing, COVID-19 ends. So there's a vaccine. And let's not let people get away with sort of going back to normal, if normal is ignoring God and going on with life, not knowing the Lord Jesus. Let's look for those opportunities to say, hey, has this not taught you something? And we need Jesus, and the needs are great all around us, but the gospel is greater. Today we're going to look at some of the details of this text and how it calls us to see and seize the gospel harvest opportunities. As a part of our Believe in Jesus series, exploring John's reasons to believe, as we're working our way through John, some of these texts are very much leaning toward the call to believe, and others of them are leaning more toward the mission of helping others to hear and believe. And today's leaning a little more that way, but certainly the call to believe is here as well. As a community of believers, as those who do believe in Jesus, if you really do believe, we're not just to be telling others the gospel. We're a part of this gospel harvest mission team under Jesus. We're a part of a team. And we have many, many opportunities to help others hear and call others to believe the message of Jesus. That's what's going on right now. That's what I hope we all see. You know, back when I was growing up, and many of you have heard the stories before, I got involved in doing some harvesting because my uncle lived just a few miles away from us, and he had a farm. And we'd get tapped in the summer, particularly around baling hay time, to come out, my brothers and I and others, my cousins and uncles and the whole thing, a big crew of us to do harvesting in taking up this hay. Somebody had to drive the tractor, somebody had to be on the trailer behind the tractor, somebody had to take trailers back and unload the tractor, somebody had to be up in the barn and put the hay up in the barn, and it definitely was an all-hands-on-deck kind of event. That's what ministry is. Not just an individual Christian here or a church running a program there, it's all-hands-on-deck in gospel harvest ministry. And do you see it? Do you see it? Today we're talking about harvest vision. We're going to talk about barriers to gospel harvesting. We're going to talk about being fed for gospel harvesting. This is the fuel. If you need fuel, here's going to tell you today, what is the fuel for doing this work? And then the blessings of gospel harvesting. Of course, there are many, and this text points to them. And of course, it all centers in Jesus. Jesus offers all people living water. That's been the message with the woman. And Jesus, by his coming, brings this season of gospel harvesting. It's an eschatological reality. The Messiah has come. The Son of God has come. He's brought harvesting in the person and work of who he is. And of course, this text anticipates the broad-based mission of Christ beyond the Jewish people in this ministry there with the Samaritans. Jesus makes gospel harvesters of all who believe in him. Everybody who receives life in him is on the gospel harvesting team. And we're going to see first about barriers, then talk about being fed, and then about blessings. I'd like to just sort of just work through some texts that just remind us of that big picture reality of Jesus offers living water and eternal life. By his coming brings this new gospel harvesting season, and everybody is on the gospel harvesting team if you've received life in him. What did Jesus offer the woman? It's the same thing he offers everyone, and that is, if you believe in him, you will never be thirsty again. The water I give him makes it so he or she will never be thirsty again. John 4:13 and into 14. That water will become in him a water welling up to eternal life. This is what Jesus offers, the living water of himself and his spirit. And of course, what happened there in Samaria in that village is that many came to believe. John 4:39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. She came to believe by receiving that living water. Others came to believe because of her testimony and saying, he told me all that I ever did. And the Samaritans were so impacted by what Jesus was saying and doing, they wanted him to stay longer. It says, the Samaritans who came to him asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. In John 4:41, many more believed because of his word. This is an amazing gospel harvesting kind of moment. And they recognized the reality of who Jesus is. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. They're seeing who Jesus really is. And we're told in John 4:43 that after 2 days of ministry there, Jesus departed for Galilee, continued on in his journey. But let's look first at barriers so we might be a part of gospel harvesting and doing the work God has called us to do. Jesus urges the disciples and us to not miss the harvest opportunities. I want us to think about three kinds of ways we might miss it. One is based on place. We're not seeing it because, we think that's not going to happen in this place. Another is based on people. We're not seeing it because we're saying, nah, that's not going to happen with that person or these types of people. And another is based on period of time. We miss it because we say, this isn't the time for it. Notice how the barriers of place and people are really embedded in this Jew-Samaritan kind of rivalry and disconnection. Back when Jesus was ministering to the woman at the well, she said in John chapter 4, verse 9, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? And then John parenthetically tells us what was going on in that time. For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. It was a long history of disconnection. The Samaritans were viewed as spiritual and ethnic half-breeds. The Jews did not want to be with them. They despised them. And we may have people, or we may recognize places, that we say, you know what? Nothing good's going to happen over there. No ministry is going to happen with that particular place or region or section of town or neighborhood or that other company or that other political party or whatever it is, right? That nothing good's going to happen over there. There's no harvest opportunity there. Wrong. There is harvest opportunity there. That's what Jesus is saying. Or we may look at a particular type of person. They're so secular. They're so worldly. They're et cetera, et cetera. Fill in whatever it is. Those other people are going to maybe respond, but that type's not going to respond. There are still gospel opportunities there. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't miss the gospel opportunities based on the place or the people and your preconceived ideas of who's going to be open. And then there's barriers of period of time. Do you not say, there are yet 4 months and then the harvest. And some have conjectured this may have been sort of a proverb of that time. You know, like, hey, it's a little later. Or was this actually some statement related to the harvest season there in Samaria at that time then? But whatever the background is, Jesus is clearly saying, don't miss that it's now. Don't miss that it's now. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest. Oftentimes, we fail to see the harvest opportunities because of issues of time, of period of time. Maybe you're longing to be back in the good old days, so you miss what's happening now in these days of struggle. Or maybe you're saying, you know, back when I was younger, back when my family was growing up, that was the harvest time. No, it's now. It's now. Or maybe you're saying, you know, some other time in the future, you know, after I grow up, get married, have a family, or whatever it is, right? And have plenty of free time. No, you won't. Okay, the reality is it's not sometime later or sometime in the past. That's what Jesus is saying. It is now. See the harvest now. And of course, that literally was happening. The folks were coming out of town. But spiritually speaking, in terms of God's providential working in all of our lives, the same reality is true. It is happening. There's opportunities. The Spirit is creating these. Are we willing to see them and serve God in them. You know, here in this text, of course, it focuses very heavily on the work that Jesus did in ministry to the Samaritan village. But the disciples were a part of that. Look with me at John 4:38. Jesus said, "I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor." And he's probably speaking of that, you know, prophets and others had sown spiritual seeds here. So the Samaritans had some background, and maybe even John the Baptist ministry had sowed some spiritual seeds here. So the disciples are walking into this with an opportunity to do some harvesting. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. But please note, it says Jesus sent them. And as Jesus sent them, he sends us. And of course, this is anticipating, again, what Jesus does with all believers, all who are his followers. John 20, verse 21, "As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." Matthew 28, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." That is sharing the gospel in a way that people receive and believe in the triune God and profess faith in him. So that's barriers. Don't let the place, the people, or the period of time keep you from seeing the harvest, of serving in the harvest where Jesus sends you. And of course, we're all powerless in doing this harvest work unless we're being fueled. And this next point talks about the fuel. Being fed for gospel harvesting. Jesus gives an example of what this entails. And of course, by Jesus living that example perfectly, there is the reality of the gospel and the harvesting the gospel brings. But Jesus says his food is doing the Father's will. Jesus said his very food, as the disciples come back and urge him to eat, his food is doing the Father's will. This is so key and so important. Let's think about food. When I wake up in the morning, I think about food. When it gets about noonish, I'm thinking about food. Anybody else like that? When it comes about 6 or so at night, I'm thinking about food. And probably, unless I had a really big dinner, before I go to bed, I'm thinking about food again. Now, you may say, "Pastor Bruce, you're thinking about food too much." But here's what Jesus is saying. He's thinking all the time about doing the Father's will. That when he gives this analogy of food, that's what he's saying. He's seeking it all the time. The disciples were like, "Okay, Jesus hasn't had any food yet. We went down to get food." They're like, "Hey, you need to eat, Jesus." And Jesus said, "Hey, I got food you guys don't know about." And of course, Jesus had spoke to the woman about water, and she didn't understand what he was talking about, spiritual water. And here the disciples are not understanding Jesus talking about spiritual food. So they're like, "Man, did Jesus sneak some food? Did somebody slip some to him? You know, how did he get some food? Somebody brought him some food to eat?" And then Jesus says in John 4:34, these profound words, powerful words, words about being fed. And he says, "My food," he's talking spiritual now, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Now let's go back to that. One of the things that food means is you seek it regularly. You know, and there may be a handful of people that don't want to eat, but most of us say, "You know what? I'm being reminded I want to eat." Jesus saw doing the will of the Father who sent him like that. Again and again and again and again and again. He was always reminded and seeking to do God's will. Think if we had that attitude of being so eager and seeking to do God's will that it surpassed our desire for food. And there's more to it than just that seeking. There is the sustenance that food brings. This is what Jesus is getting at here. For him, there was something that happened that sustained him spiritually in the fellowship with his Father as he walked in perfect obedience, seeking to do the Father's will and accomplish his work all the time. In that, there was strength, there was fuel and sustenance. And furthermore, as food provides that sustenance, food also satisfies. Don't you feel that sense of, oh yeah, now I'm satisfied when you've had a good meal? And Jesus is saying what really satisfies him again and again, day after day, moment by moment, is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. I want to put before you that image of food and being fed for each of us as believers and for all of us as a church community. That what we seek every day, what gives us sustenance every day, what satisfies us every day is doing what God wants us to do. That, of course, is God's clear and revealed will in Scripture, but it also is the direction of God as he leads us by the Holy Spirit and providentially guides our life. When people come into our path, we're like, oh, this is great. This is amazing. I can do ministry. When God puts on our heart to serve somewhere, we say, man, this is great. This is amazing. I can do ministry. This last week, it so blessed me to hear somebody here at Trinity Community Church tell me about their joy in doing ministry. And this person said, I know God has called me to do children's ministry. And I experienced profound joy in teaching children about Jesus. And so whatever ministry it is you've been called to, whatever ministry it is God is directing you to, you're going to have that sense of satisfaction, joy, sustenance as you seek to do what God has called you to do. And for us as a church, as we seek to do what God has called us to do, to be this church of transformation in gospel community. And of course, Jesus perfectly did this. And because he perfectly did this, he is the one who died on the cross as the perfect sacrifice for our sins to make us right with the holy God. He rose from death triumphant. And as Jesus went to the cross, he even used these very words in what he was doing. In John chapter 17, verse 4, Jesus in his high priestly prayer there says, I glorified you on earth, that's Jesus the Son speaking to God the Father, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. He did exactly and perfectly everything that he was sent to do. And of course, the cross is how he made it so sinners can be right with the holy God. And it's because of that, because Jesus has come, that the harvest is here. That's why there is that reality of spiritual harvest now. Do you not say yet there are 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest. Jesus, notice, he transitions from talking about his food to them and the harvest, which tells me that as we make doing the will of God our food, as God the Spirit works in directing and empowering us, we too are a part of this harvest work. He's connecting his spiritual food with them and serving in the harvest because we, like him, are being fed for gospel harvesting. And then, of course, there's great blessings of gospel harvesting. Jesus points to the joy that there is in doing gospel work together. Joy in him and joy in what he brings, joy in sowing, joy in reaping. And, of course, this is anticipating the eschatological joy of the grand fullness when all who are redeemed are together praising God for his mighty work. And I can just picture that scene someday where we're there and somebody's saying, yeah, I was teaching Sunday school or doing youth group or sharing the message with my neighbor or whatever, and I sowed some seeds there, and I didn't know what happened. And someone over here says, oh, man, I got the privilege of the harvesting, of that person where you sowed the seeds, of seeing them come to faith and believe in Jesus. And somebody else is like, you know, telling about when somebody believes in Jesus, and oh, you were the one who was sowing the seeds. And it's all about Jesus. It's all about his mighty work. It's all to the glory of God. Look with me at John 4:35, and we're going to walk our way through the following verses. Notice how it is Jesus who brings this harvest time. I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest. That's significant. I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this in John 4:36, already the one who reaps is receiving wages for gathering fruit for eternal life, and gathering fruit for eternal life, rather. So the sower and reaper may rejoice together. See the joy? See the togetherness there? You're on that gospel harvesting team. And whether you're sowing or reaping, it's all God's gospel work, and we're all in this together. And it points to the age of the Messiah. There's a great verse in Amos chapter 9, verse 13, that talks about literally how the guy who's plowing is going to catch up with the guy who's harvesting. The harvest and the sowing are that much together. And when because Jesus has come, there's this reality of sowing and harvesting, that the reaper and the sower are working at the same time. And there's great joy in that. And it reminds me of back to my harvesting days, if I could share with you an illustration. When the day of baling hay was all done, we gathered around this big table with all kinds of food and shared stories and laughter about everything that happened that day because the hay was in the barn after a long day of work. And around that eternal table, where God's people gather, that kind of joy that we have then is like anticipated and lived out in reality now. We're rejoicing at the mighty work Jesus does to save people. We're rejoicing that we get to be part of this serving and gospel mission together. We're rejoicing as a church when we see lives changed by the power of the gospel. And we're not sort of just sort of living in life and getting through life and say, oh man, it's really bad. Can't believe how bad it is. We're seeing the harvest and we're serving in the harvest and seeing God transform lives by the power of the gospel. We've all got different roles in this too. For the saying holds true, John 4:37, one sows and another reaps. You may be doing this and somebody else may be doing that, but it's all the work of harvesting as we trust in Jesus and proclaim him. I sent you to reap for that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. This reminds us of the sowing and reaping that go hand in hand. D.A. Carson, in his commentary on John, says this: no Christian harvester can ever justly forget that, one, success in reaping normally depends on the work of those who have gone before. And that, two, in those rare instances where sowing and reaping seem to go hand in hand, it is but the foretaste of the eschatological blessing still to come. The great eschatological blessings Jesus brings. And so we sow and we reap, we look to Jesus, and we rejoice in the gospel harvest. You know, there were some great blessings that happened there and then, which point us to those blessings that happen now. And what happened then is many Samaritans from that town believed. John 4:39. And they asked Jesus to stay. They said, hey, we want a Bible study. We need to hear more. And there are some folks out there that want a Bible study that you don't know they want a Bible study. They want to hear more and you don't know they want to hear more. God's stirring that up as we're praying, seeking, and have harvest eyes. And many more believed, John 4:31, because of his word. They heard and more believed There was blessings because of the woman and her believing, blessings because of Jesus and hearing the word, and the disciples were a part of that great harvest opportunity. Do you believe there are harvest opportunities here, now, today, in New England, Boston area, your family, workplace? Open your eyes. See. Look. There's a harvest. And see how God is working, guiding, leading you to serve in that harvest, to be a sower of gospel seeds, and to be a reaper, encouraging others to believe. As a church community, we're doing that too. Not only individually, we're doing that collectively. Can I speak, just as we close, to two different groups of people? First is anyone hearing my words today that does not have a personal faith in Jesus as Savior. Today could be a gospel harvesting day that changes the destiny of your life. Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus rose again. And so today's a day of gospel sowing. You've heard that message. And today could be a day of harvesting for you to believe that message. Come in personal faith to Him. Please hear this. Only Jesus saves. And only by believing in Him do you receive what Jesus provides. Only Jesus provides living water. Only Jesus gives eternal life. Today can be the day for you to say, Jesus, I believe. I need that water. I need that eternal life. I believe You died on the cross for me to forgive my sin. I trust in You. I believe in You. If that's your prayer, tell somebody that. First God, and then a brother or sister in the Lord that can guide you and help you and make sure you're getting the follow-up you need for that. Remember what Jesus said to the woman? Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. Whatever drinks of the water I give will never be thirsty again. John 20, verse 31, gives us the purpose of the entire book. Every story John tells is sort of supporting this purpose. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. This story then was written for that purpose. If you have yet to believe, take that step. And if you do believe, doesn't this message apply so wonderfully to believers? Not just to our doing work, but our joy in doing work. Notice the joy that's all over this passage. You're on the gospel harvest team if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And you ought to be seeking God's will each day like you seek food. Like, I just got to have it. And my reminder is there. When I don't have it, seek to do God's will each day so you are doing your part each day. There's not only that seeking, there's the sustenance, there's the satisfaction. You're on God's harvest team. See and seize those opportunities. The harvest is here in Jesus, and His followers are all working in it. Look, I tell you, Jesus said to them, and I believe He says to us, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Let's pray. I've invited Anna, if she would, to come and lead us. We're going to do a little different than just the end of the message prayer. We're going to pray intentionally for Trinity and all of us in harvest, mission, and ministry. And so let's go to the Lord as we ask for His help.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that you give us to do the work alongside you, Lord, that you use us as your hand and feet, Father, that you entrust us, Father, to be spreaders and sowers of your word, of the good news of the gospel of Jesus, God, who has come to save us, Lord, who has come to give us life, God, to bring us out of the darkness into light, Lord. So do we ask, Father, this morning, Lord, that you would help us to be attuned to the opportunities around us, Father, to the people, to the place, to the time that you have put us in. Help us to see, Lord, and have your eyes to see what you have called us to in such a time as this, Lord, in a time where the country is feeling so divided, Lord, help us to be unifiers. In a time where there is so much uncertainty, Lord, help us to point to the one that is certain, Lord, who is the anchor in any storm, Lord. Help us, Father, to be your salt and light on this earth, Father, to be spreaders of the message that you have entrusted to us, Lord. God, help us also to be hungry for your word, Lord, to be hungry for your presence on a daily basis, Lord, that you would fill us with your sustenance, Father, so that we in turn could be pouring out to the people around us, Lord. Fill us so that we can fill others, Lord. Help us, Father, to just turn to you, Lord, to rely on you as our only source of hope, of light, and strength, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that you have given us, Lord, that we would leave here this morning just on fire to do your work, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you would stand with us and worship as we close.